Here in Psalms 135 in verse 6, he says, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places." And then back here again in the Psalms 115, Psalms 115 and verse 3. Psalms 115, verse 3. "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." I'd like to go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Our goal this morning is to magnify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to show you what a great God that we have to fear, to love, to worship, and to serve. And there's no attribute more comforting to His children than that of God's sovereignty. You know, people will allow God to be everywhere except on His throne. They'll allow Him to give them blessings. They'll allow Him to fashion the worlds and to make the stars and so on. And they'll marvel at His handiwork. And they'll allow Him to sustain or to uphold the earth or to rule the waves of the sea and so on. But when we proclaim that He has a right to do as He wills with His own, to do what He will with His creatures as He thinks well, without consulting them in the matter, is when we run into trouble with most people. It's God on the throne that I love to preach about. But God is nothing more than a big man with a lot of people. And with many, He's not even a very big man. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 50. Psalms, chapter 50. Psalms, chapter 50. And I'd like to read verse 21. Psalms 50 and verse 21. "These things hast thou done and kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself." And I believe this is the trouble today. People's conception of God is too human. A lot of times we think like that. And I believe this accounts for much of the alarming irreverence in our churches today. In Psalms 89, we trust that you're still there in Psalms. We'd like to go to chapter 89. Psalms 89, and let us notice verse 7. "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints." And when we don't see the sovereignty of God, when we don't see God as He really is, we're not going to be able to reverence Him in the house of God like we ought to. We're not going to be able to worship Him as we really ought to unless we understand that He is all-powerful, that He's ruling the armies of heaven, and He's in ruling amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And so he says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee, Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and when the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. And so we like to notice here, first of all, this morning, what God's sovereignty means. What does God's sovereignty mean? I believe it's the exercise of His supremacy. The exercise of His supremacy. The exercise of His authority. The exercise of His power. So in other words, I believe we're just saying this morning that God is in the driver's seat. He is in the driver's seat. God is the one supreme and independent being. He's the only one in all the universe that has a right and the power to do absolutely as He pleases. He is the highest in rank or in authority. And His power cannot be overruled. So the sovereignty of God means that He does as He pleases. Sometimes we have a time with that, don't we? When He interferes with our plans. But He does as He pleases. Always as He pleases. And only as He pleases. So He does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, and whom He wants. So God is in control. God is in control. He's in control of all things. And sometimes people accept that. He's in control with all things. And He is also in control of all people. And He's directing all things after His own will and to the praise of His own glory. And I believe He is teaching us that every day. We don't come to a full knowledge of this doctrine overnight. And we are understanding this doctrine every day that we live. And you'll receive the blessings of it when you submit to Him. And when you recognize that He is controlling all things. And He is controlling all people. And all situations. And all circumstances. Doesn't that make life a whole lot easier? It really does. It does to me. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter, I believe it's chapter 1 in verse 11. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. After the counsel of His own will. He's working all things after the counsel of His own will. Sometimes things just don't sit real good with us, you know. And sometimes there are a lot of things that we don't understand. But I'll tell you one that does understand. And that's God Almighty. Because He understands and He's ruling everything according to the purpose of His own will. Isn't that a blessing to know that truth? I not only believe in the sovereignty of God, But I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. God has full control of everything. He has full control of everybody. Things are not beyond His control. Sometimes we think that it's not, you know. And the devil has not gained the upper hand. Sometimes we think he has, but he hasn't. I found this poem somewhere. I don't even know where I found it, but I like to read it. They cannot shell his temple, nor dynamite his throne. They cannot bomb his city, nor rob him of his throne. They cannot take him captive, nor strike him deaf and dumb, nor starve him to surrender, nor make him change his mind. They cannot cause him panic, nor cut off his supplies. They cannot take his kingdom, nor hurt him with their lies. Though all the world be shattered, his truth remains the same. His righteous law is still powerful, and Father still his name. Though we face war and struggle, and feel their gourd and rod, we know above all confusion, there always will be God. And I thought that was pretty good. And so, we like to notice also this morning, the sovereignty of God in creation. God acted as sovereign in all of His creation. He did not create from necessity, but He created from His own good pleasure. And in creating, He was free to create whatever He pleased. And there's a lot of scriptures that bear this out. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, I'd like for you to turn back here with me. In the book of Proverbs and chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we'd like to notice verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for Himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. A lot of people don't even know that verse is in the Bible. We're talking about God Almighty that has all power in heaven and in earth, and He does what He pleases. And the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, notice in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans. I'm not going to get in a hurry. Sometimes I skip scripture and everything to try to cut it short. I'm not going to do that this morning. I want you to see what the Word of God has to say here in the book of Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, notice in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So, He did not create from necessity. He created from His own good pleasure. And in creating, He was free to create whatever he pleased. And I believe that these scriptures here bear this out very well. And so he is regulating. He is regulating all the works of his own hands. He's regulating them. I read a passage of scripture one day in the book of Psalms, I believe it is, where he said, the waters run into the seas and they're never filled up. I was up in Michigan, pastoring church up there in Traverse City, and I was looking out that vast area of water, and I thought, my. And that scripture come to my mind, that the waters run into the seas and they're never filled up. The Lord just distributes it. He just puts it a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. He's regulating it all. We'd be in bad shape if he wasn't. Well, next we want to notice sovereignty, his sovereignty in administration. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. He is upholding all things by the word of his power there in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. God is sovereign ruler in his universe. He is in control of all things and of all men. He's in control of demons. He's in control of the devil. God is regulating the affairs of this earth. The devil is not. The Lord is regulating all the affairs of this earth. I'm thankful that I believe that and that I know that and that Satan has his destiny and God Almighty is in control of that. You know, the Bible rarely ever uses the expression, it reigns. They speak of God sending rain. Brother James this morning said, what did he say? He said, God sent us some rain. He sent us some rain. Now, the next time it's raining like crazy outdoors, and we got to go out into it, and we start griping and complaining. Did y'all ever do that? Or be snowing, sleeting, and we look out at it, and we say, man, we start complaining, you know? But it's God that sends it. We just need to say, thank you, Lord. We needed that. If we didn't need it, he wouldn't send it. But he's sending it because we need it. And we need to rejoice in it. We don't need to grumble and complain about what God sends. Now, notice in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. I'd like to notice 5:45. Matthew 5. Don't worry about those little pieces of paper. I have those in there for my radio program. I have paper stuck every which way, and I can't do it like I'm doing here. You know, I got to keep going, you know, with those scriptures, and so I mark the scriptures with those little pieces of paper. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and let us notice verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh. Now underline these little words. Sometimes we miss those verses. And we miss these words. That he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Did you ever see a cornfield? I mean, it was just wasn't doing any good at all. you go up up the road about a half mile, and this farmer, he's a dedicated Baptist. He goes to church every time the doors are open, and he tithes, he gives his tithes and offerings, and his corn is standing up. Boy, I mean, it's just really growing. Did y'all ever see that? I've seen that. I have seen that happen. In Arkansas, I saw that time and time again. It's God that sends the rain. Did y'all ever see it rain on one side of the road and on the other side of the road it wasn't raining? Huh? Who causes all that? Who does all of that? You know, sometimes we don't notice that. But when we read scriptures like this, man, it comes back to our mind and we say, now I know why that happened that way. It was God that was sending the rain. Isn't that a blessing? Now, notice also in the book of Acts, chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and let us notice verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven. And gave us rain. Underline that. And gave us rain from heaven. Now, notice also in the book of Job. In the book of Job. And let us notice chapter 28. Job chapter 28. And notice verse 26. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. And so we see the sovereignty of God in administration, in the way that he does things. So we see here that he is the one that sends us the rain. He sends us the snow. He sends us the sleet. So we see also that he also changes the times and the seasons. He changes the times and the seasons. It's not nature that does it. Huh? It's God that changes the colors of the leaves. Well, it's fall. Boy, those leaves are to be turning here any time now. We get our first frost, and they'll really turn. You know, it's God that gives those leaves the colors that they are. And there's not an artist that can come up with a color that God gives us in those leaves. Isn't that amazing? I pastored up in northern Michigan, and boy, I've seen some of the prettiest color up there in the leaves turning. And I just marvel at God's handiwork and how that he does things. Now, in the book of Daniel, turn back here with me to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, and let us notice chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, and let's notice verse 21 and 22. And he changeth the times and seasons. In other words, he keeps on changing. I guess in the Greek, that's the linear, it's in the linear. And he says, and he changes. In other words, it means that he keeps on changing. He's still in control. And he still keeps on changing. And he changeth the times. He continues to do that. He changes the times and the seasons. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And he removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now, again, back here in the book of Job, chapter 30. In Job chapter 30, I'd like to notice chapter 30 and verse 23. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death. God is going to bring us to death. There is no accidents with God. God brings us to death. That's a blessing to know that. To know that. Now, he also locked the jaws of the lions. Who caused the rooster to crow when it crowed? Huh? He also controls men. He controls all men, whether good or bad, individually or collectively. He also restrains the wicked. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, you're still there in the book of Job. Go over here to Proverbs chapter 21 and notice verse 1. He says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. Now notice that. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And these presidents sometimes that claim to read their Bibles and faithful reading their Bibles and so on, I don't know. I believe sometimes they don't read these verses. I believe they just sort of slide by these verses. But the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? He restrains them. He causes them to make the decisions for his honor and for his glory that they make. And that's another reason that we need to pray for the leaders of our country. I believe that's our responsibility as God's people, to pray that they will seek the will of God and that they will be God-fearing men. So God overrules. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And so he controls the activities and he controls the destinies of his people. Now let's notice last of all the sovereignty of God in salvation. The sovereignty of God in salvation. In the book of Job, or in the book of Jonah, it says that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not of man. It is not of yourself. Have you been saved? You answer that. Have you been born again? You answer that. What are you depending on to get to heaven? There was a young couple that wanted me to marry them. The boy was saved, a member of our church, and she claimed to be saved. And I had to talk to him before I would make the decision that I had to make. And I asked her to give me her account of salvation. And she says, well, my mom and dad brought me to a, took me to a Lutheran church all my life. And I was taught the Lutheran doctrine all my life. And she said, my mother had me baptized when I was very young. And she said, I feel that I'm all right. What is she depending on? She's depending on her works. And she was depending on that, her works, to get her to heaven. Baptism will not get you to heaven. Being a Baptist will not get you to heaven. Being a Lutheran or a Catholic, even though you've been baptized, will not get you to heaven. Salvation is not in baptism. Salvation is of the Lord. And I believe that the Holy Spirit of God, He deals with us individually. I believe salvation is an individual thing. I believe He deals with us individually. And He is sovereign in giving us salvation. He is sovereign. Salvation is of the Lord. In the book of Acts, in chapter 13, in verse 48, He says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. To as many as were ordained. What's the word ordained mean? It means ordered. God ordered your salvation. To as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. And I believe all of those that are ordained to eternal life will believe. No ands, buts about it. They will believe. They will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be saved. I believe that with all my heart. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I believe that also. You know, I believe a lot of times we get all tied up with mechanics. We get all tied up with step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, and I missed this step, so therefore I'm not saved. Is that right? That happens. God is the one that saves you. To as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. And I believe they will believe. And in believing, the trust is there, the repentance is there, the faith is there. I believe it all comes bang, just like that. It's like, which hits the hole first, the bullet or the hole? You all go back to when you were saved. The repentance was there, the faith was there, the trust was there, the grace was there, and bang, it was there. I didn't get a little bit of faith here, and a little bit of belief here, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. It was bang, it was there. And so, sometimes we get all tied up with some technicals and technicalities and so on, but salvation is of the Lord. And you will know it when you are. You'll know it when all of that takes place. Well, nobody have to tell you. And one day you will step out and you will say, I'm saved by the grace of God. The repentance was there, the faith was there, the belief was there, the trust was there. And you know you're saved. And so, we see that salvation is of the Lord. He was under no obligation to save His rebellious creatures. We were all 100% depraved. And His purpose to save us was entirely free to the praise of His grace. He could send every sinner to hell and remain absolutely just. But God, who was rich in mercy, wherewith His great love, He loved us. I preached a message up the conference up in Flint on the subject of when God butts in. And boy, that's mentioned several times throughout the Bible. And I thought about that several years. And finally, the Lord gave me a message on when God butts in. And we all know when God butts in. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love, I never will forget the first time that the Lord revealed unto me His love that He had for me. Never will forget it. And so God saves whom He pleases. But many today, the will of God is impotent. And the will of man is omnipotent. Isn't that right? We think we have the power. We think it's all in us. But salvation is all by the power of God. And so, in conclusion, the very order and safety of creation itself rest upon the sovereignty of God. If God is not in control, working all things after the counsel of His own will, then an absolute blackout is ahead for every one of us here. I find rest. I find consolation. I find peace in the trust that I have in my sovereign God. He's still reigning. And I believe the reason that we can rest in Romans 8:28 is because we believe that all things are subject to His immediate control, and that all things are moving in accord with His eternal purpose, as we saw there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Either God governs or He's governed. Either God rules or He is ruled. Either God has His way or men have theirs. But praise be to God. He is still ruling. He is still reigning. He is still God Almighty.